This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. and Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Stewardess by another old writer. It was 1600 hours DST on All-American Air Flight 247 and Carol was tired. It had been a long day. Based in Dallas, Carol had flown from Dallas to Los Angeles to Chicago. In Chicago, she had a 12-hour layover. Tomorrow, she'd fly to Miami and then back home to Dallas. As usual, the flight was packed. It was the last leg of their flight, so she'd be in her hotel room in a couple of hours. Carol loved being a stewardess. She found life after college pretty grim. This was the early 70s, and good jobs for women were rarely available. After 4 years, she hadn't found any job she was qualified for, and the jobs she could get were only slightly above secretarial jobs. She was young and good-looking. The idea of being stuck in an office all day, for lousy pay, did not appeal to her. She wanted to have fun, party, and travel. Luckily for her, the 70s were also the good old days in the airline business. They could still hire stewardesses based on how good they looked in their short little uniforms, rather than on their ability to do their jobs, maybe more so. It was the days of the Fly Me advertising campaign. All airlines sold the suggestion of sex. It's what the passengers, mostly men, wanted. Carol was an ideal candidate to be a stewardess. She was smart, tall, slender, confident, and extremely attractive. After applying to all the major airlines, she was hired by All-American Air based in Dallas. As a stewardess, she could travel and see the world. She loved the image that people had of stewardesses and flirted on the job constantly. When she gave a man special attention, they noticed. She knew the effect she had on men and loved the attention. She got hit on constantly, all the stewardesses did, and had to learn excuses to turn men down while still being pleasant. She especially liked the longer flights filled with businessmen who flew regularly. They knew what they were doing, making less work for the crew. The business passengers were also dressed better than average. Fit men in $1,000 suits were much better eye candy than fat guys in cut-off jeans. Carol was not being her usual perky self today, and a friend, Susan, noticed and followed her to the galley. "Hey Carol, what's wrong with you today?"
"Oh, nothing really, just a bit of drama at home."
She hesitated and then said,
"Steve dumped me."
Steve was her most recent boyfriend. They'd been dating for a couple of months. They didn't have time to talk because it was a busy flight, but Susan said,
"Let's talk later."
After landing and doing her paperwork, Carol boarded the shuttle bus to the hotel. She checked into her room and got cleaned up. Susan knocked on the door. They decided to go out to a small restaurant nearby for dinner.
"So what happened with this guy? What's his name?"
Susan asked.
"His name is Steve. You've met him and he dumped me,"
Carol answered.
"So? I can't believe you didn't dump him after one date. He wasn't attractive, was as dull as dry toast, and from what I could see, he had a tiny package. Am I wrong?"
"You're probably right, but I wouldn't call his package tiny, it was more like petite."
Carol laughed.
"Did he at least know how to use what he had?"
"Not really. He had no concept of foreplay, and he was a lousy kisser. He'd never go down on me but expected a blowjob. His stamina was not great either. I was never really satisfied with the sex."
"Sounds like you're well rid of him.
I know they say sex isn't everything, but without great sex, then other stuff probably isn't great either,"
Susan said.
"Still, I hate the idea he broke up with me. Like I wasn't good enough. I haven't had a real boyfriend in a long time. I get lonely sometimes."
"Screw that. You're a sky goddess. That loser will soon realize that he walked away from the high point of his pathetic life,"
Susan said.
"You need to realize the power you have over men."
Their food arrived and the girls ate and drank. Susan was trying to cheer Carol up a bit and kept ordering more drinks. They couldn't drink too much. They had to get ready to fly out at 6 in the morning, and it was going to be another long day. Sitting at the table and looking around the restaurant, Susan asked Carol,
"You see all the guys sitting around in here?"
Carol nodded.
"You could go up to any one of them and say, 'I'm a stewardess. I'm easy, are you?' Even if they're married and on a trip with their wife and children, they'd go to your room with you."
Carol was a bit shocked and said,
"No, they wouldn't. I could never do that."
"Sure you could. Do you want me to show you? Pick a man for me,"
said Susan with a wicked look in her eyes.
"No.
And shut up. You might choose not to, but you could. You have the power," replied Susan.
Carol could picture Susan doing that. She was a bit of a slut. She hated thinking of her friend that way, but Susan partied a lot and often had sex with strangers. Susan rarely went out with the same guy more than once. As far as Carol knew, Susan had never had a boyfriend.
"What you need is to fuck a good-looking stranger," Susan said.
We've all been given business cards by passengers looking to spend the evening with us. Right?
I suppose. What would happen if you saw a good-looking guy on a flight and flirted with him, to get his card? You would be choosing him rather than having some random guy, praying to get lucky, handing you his card.
No way, this is stupid. I'm not going to have sex with a man I just met on a plane, Carol said.
Why not? It's not like you didn't have one-night stands with strangers in college. This way, you get to screen him on the flight, gauge his interest, and then go out with a good-looking guy that you know something about. You'll be completely in control, Susan said.
What's wrong? Are you chicken?
Susan asked. That phrase has caused so many bad decisions to be made. That phrase and too much alcohol.
I'm not chicken, Carol said.
Then you must be afraid that you won't be able to pick up a man that's not at a drunken college party? Susan said.
I can pick up any guy I set my sights on. But this just sounds crazy, Carol blurted out.
When Carol got home to Dallas, her apartment seemed very empty. She no longer had a boyfriend who got excited that she was home. She didn't want to go out by herself, and she had nothing to do until she flew again in a couple of days. The things Susan said kept running through her head. On one hand, it would be stupid, possibly dangerous, and certainly demeaning to pick up a guy on a flight for a one-night stand. She wasn't a co-ed anymore. On the other hand, she thought about how much fun she'd had in college. She'd bedded guys without knowing them or their names for that matter, not often, she wasn't a slut. It was usually a drunken mess and the sex was not great, but it was fun and dirty. She missed the fun she had in college. She took off her uniform skirt and shirt and lay on her bed to relax for a minute. She kept flashing back to her college days. While most of her one-night stands were not great, she still had a good time. She picked the guy she wanted and was in control. Sometimes the sex was bad. Sometimes okay, sometimes good, and on very rare occasions, it was outstanding. She thought about one night in particular when she met Derek. He was no ordinary lover. She could still picture every inch of him. Could still smell him, could almost taste him. It had been over 5 years ago, but it still was the best purely sexual encounter she'd ever had. Derek was a law student who had just graduated. He showed up at a dorm party visiting a friend. These parties were usually boring affairs, with the same old people, and I considered skipping it. But it was the end of the semester, and I was looking for some fun, so I went to check it out. Derek was new. I'd never seen him at one of these parties, so I went over to talk to him. He was beyond good-looking, tall, blonde with blue eyes and a sparkling smile. I pressed up against him to let someone pass, and it was clear that he had a rock-hard body. I got him several beers to loosen him up and then told him I had a bottle of Jack Daniel's Black in my room. Giving him my room number, I told him to meet me there in 5 minutes. I went first to straighten up a bit. He arrived with several cold bottles of Coke to use as mixers. I handed him the liquor, and he made us a couple of strong drinks. Back in her apartment, her hand drifted to her brine-cased breasts and then slipped under her white work bra. She felt a familiar warmth radiating from her belly as she pinched and pulled her nipples. The warmth spread lower, and she followed the feeling with her hand, sliding it down her flat tummy and into her plain white panties, as she remembered that night. He brought my drink over and sat very close to me on the only place available, the bed. We talked while finishing our drinks, and he made us another. By the time we finished our second drink, I knew that he was 30 years old, 8 years my senior. He started college late. After high school, he wasn't ready for college, so he got a job ferrying sailboats from one place to another for rich people. Between jobs, he was on his own and could enjoy the places he traveled to and had stories from each. He saw a lot of the world before he started college. His voice was soothing, and his stories were full of exciting adventures. I had never met a man so charming, disarming, and charismatic. I found myself hanging on his every word as if he had cast a spell on me. As she ran her finger up and down her warm, wet slit, she thought about how pretty he was. Her excitement rose a notch. After finishing my drink and hearing about his exotic adventures, I was a little tipsy and a lot horny. I threw my leg over him, sat on his lap, and gave him a hot, hungry kiss. It was a wonderful kiss, and it made me want more. He wrapped his arms around me, and I cupped his face in my hands and deepened the kiss. He slid his hands slowly from my waist up to the back of my head. The kiss became warmer, wetter, and sexier. I scooted higher on his legs, closer to him. I could feel that he was well endowed and that his interest in me was growing rapidly. At home, her hand reached her clit. Touching it made her moan slightly. She ran her finger around it gently. It was too sensitive for much pressure right now, but she had plenty of time. Her excitement ratcheted up. Derek pushed me back slightly and looked deeply into my eyes and smiled, melting my will to resist him. He told me that he was going to unbutton my thin white blouse. I just nodded. He undid each button slowly, running his hand over the skin he just exposed. I wanted him to go faster. I wanted to just rip the blouse off myself, scattering the buttons around the room, and then rip his shirt off. But no, I had given up control long ago, something that I'd rarely done in my life. When the final button was undone, he pulled the shirt out of my pants and spread it open, exposing my breasts to the cool air in the room. My already erect nipples got even harder. Derek pulled my shirt off my shoulders partway down my arms, pinning my arms back and thrusting my breasts out towards him. Finding a nipple, he traced his tongue around it, teasing me. I pushed my chest out further until he sucked and flicked it with his tongue. His hand found the other nipple, and he twisted and pulled it. Back home, Carol remembered how her breasts felt when exposed to the cool air.
Was it her imagination, or was the room cooler now? No matter, her nipples stiffened as she felt exposed. Remembering that moment made her shiver with excitement. Her panties were now drenched as her finger rubbed harder around and around her little pearl. Derek told me he was going to remove my pants. I could only whisper, yes, as he unbuttoned them. He pushed me off of his lap and onto my back on the bed. He removed my shoes and socks, then unzipped and pulled off my pants and panties together. I lay before him naked, except for the shirt trapping my arms. I was a little embarrassed by the hungry way he looked at me, and the submissive way I looked back at him, but it excited me. He turned me over and finished removing my shirt, and slapped my tight bottom. Derek told me to take his clothes off. I jumped up and got down on my knees, unbuckled his belt, and unbuttoned his jeans. He stopped me and told me to do the shirt first. I did, but quickly, and I was impressed by the vision of his hard chest, well-muscled arms, and six-pack abs. I kissed and nipped at his nipples, then dropped to my knees and continued removing his pants. I undressed him like it was Christmas morning, hurriedly unzipping and pulling down his jeans, dying to get to my present. He wasn't wearing underwear, so his hard cock popped out and bounced and jiggled in front of my face. It made me happy and gave me naughty ideas. I reached out and held it in both hands. It felt heavy, and there was a drop of pre-cum oozing out that I quickly licked off. He moaned when my tongue touched the crown, and my lips spread over it. My tongue swirled all over his head and I concentrated on the most sensitive part on the bottom. I slid him in and out of my mouth a few times, then licked him, from the base to the head, slowly. He moaned as I engulfed his head again, taking it as far down as I could, over and over. I loved the feeling of his smooth cock in my mouth. His taste and scent were masculine. I was eager to please him, and the swelling of his cock made me proud. He pulled me off, surprising me. I thought I had done something wrong. I wanted to taste his cum. But he put me on the bed and crawled between my legs, stopping inches from my pussy. Carol realized that this wasn't going to be a quickie for her. She needed a serious orgasm. It had been a while. She didn't want to, but she stopped playing with herself to pull off her bra and her now-soaked panties. She reached over and pulled out her large, cock-shaped vibrator, turned off the light and lit a candle. Then she settled down, naked, to finish what she'd started. Now, where was I? She thought and closed her eyes. Derek seemed to have learned a lot about pleasing women in his 30 years of life. He'd learned to control himself, and to put a woman's needs before his own. An excellent trait in a lover. As a sailor, he probably had a woman in every port, and practice makes perfect. I relaxed and let him be in control. It was the right choice. For a few moments, he seems to immerse himself in the sight and scent of my sex. He explored my pussy with his mouth. His tongue ran slowly up and down the outsides of my lips then down the center, spreading them, just grazing my clit. His lips sucked on mine. He seemed to be in no hurry, but he was driving me insane. I had never had sensations this powerful. He glanced up and looked at me. I closed my eyes and bit my lower lip. My breathing was rapid and ragged. Flattening his tongue, he licked me from my anus to my clit. His tongue on my anus surprised me. No one had ever done that before, but it felt wonderful. When he touched my clit, I jumped. It felt like an electric shock, from his tongue, to my clit, to the rest of my body. Carol ran her vibrator up and down her slit before switching it on to its lowest setting. Touching it to her clit, she found that it was still too sensitive. She pressed it against her entrance, and found that she was so wet and ready that it slid right inside. Switching it to medium, she left it there, sending her arousal state higher. Her hands now free, she continued rubbing around her clit and rolling her nipples between her fingers. He licked all around my clit, and I could tell I was going to come soon. He sucked my clit deep into his mouth and rapidly flicked it with his tongue. That sent me over the edge. My back arched and my toes curled so tightly that I thought they would cramp. With my muscles tensed, I could hardly move. Derek continued rapidly licking my clit, taking me to another level. I screamed and collapsed as I was hit by another orgasm. I'm sure the whole dorm could hear my scream, but I didn't care. I lay on the bed, not being able or willing to move or speak. My muscle twitched randomly as I regained my senses. Derek was the first guy to go down on me that knew what he was doing. That orgasm was, by far, the best I'd ever had. Her excitement had grown overpowering. Her swollen clit could now take more direct pressure, and she rubbed it between two fingers harder and harder. She pinched and pulled her nipple, causing the most exquisite pain. Before I had completely recovered, he slid a finger into my well-lubricated entrance. I was so sensitive, I didn't think I could take any more. But he continued and bent his finger to gently rub on the inside of my vagina. As he continued, he put pressure on my engorged clit with his thumb. My third orgasm suddenly hit me, and I screamed in pleasure. Exhausted, I tried to regain my senses, but he flipped me over like a rag doll and pulled me up onto my hands and knees. I was dripping wet with anticipation, as he crawled behind me. She pulled the vibrator out of her pussy, and turned it too high. She pressed it directly on her clit, while mauling her breast with her hand. That was it for her. He rubbed his head up and down my slit, pressing against my clit, then slipped into my waiting hole. Just ahead at first, then increasing the pressure until his balls touched my clit. He pulled back until he was almost out of me, leaving me feeling empty, and then pushed in again slowly. I pushed back. Gradually building up speed, he was soon pounding his cock into me, his balls hitting my clit with every thrust. My arms buckled, and my head fell into my pillow. I grabbed the pillow and screamed my orgasm into it. My pussy muscles contracted over and over, squeezing his cock like a vice, pushing him over the edge. He emptied his load deep inside me. She screamed, and her body jerked and twisted, but she kept the vibrator pressed against her throbbing clit until she couldn't take it anymore. The thought of that extraordinary fucking, the vibrator, and the action of her own hands made her whole body stiffen and convulse in a massive orgasm. Carol rolled up into a ball as she came down and relaxed. She felt better than she had in a long time. After a short nap, Carol thought about what Susan said, and was warming to the idea. If she could find the right guy, it could be a sexy, dirty, and fun adventure. She might not be a co-ed anymore, but she still wanted fun in her life. She especially wanted an adventurous sex life. Thinking about sleeping with a handsome, older stranger, where she was in charge, was making her very hot. At the very least, she'd get a good meal. If he turned out to be an ass, she could leave after dinner. But if she picked the right guy, the sex might be great. Even if it wasn't great, it had to be better than sex with that prick Steve, and it would certainly keep her mind occupied. It was also possible that it would be extraordinary sex. The next week, Carol was on the same flight from Dallas to LA to Chicago. She was hoping to find someone suitable to spend the evening with on the way to Chicago. She went into the lounge, checked in, and headed for her flight. On the way out, she looked at herself in the mirror on the door. The sign under it read, "Do you look your very best?" Under her breath, Carol said, "You bet your ass I do," and walked down to the boarding gate. She had done a little extra work on herself this week, like getting a facial, having her hair and nails done, along with extra time working out. She also bought some very expensive perfume she liked, a very sexy outfit, and underwear that could bring tears to a man's eyes. As she walked past security, she put a little sway in her step. Some of the people in line could be on her flight, and having people watch her from behind helped get her in the mood for this. She was still a bit nervous. Carol didn't want to just pick any man from a flight. She was not desperate. However, ever since she decided to do this, she'd been looking forward to it. Like most people, she had a mental checklist of her requirements for a companion. But now, she was just looking for someone close enough to satisfy her for one night. She was looking for someone interested in her, which most men were, good-looking, in good shape, older than her but not too old, tall, well-groomed, wearing nice clothes, nice smile, and preferably not married. He had to be interesting, polite, well-spoken, confident, and he had to like women as people and not as pieces of meat. It would be nice if he were staying at a 4- or 5-star hotel. A guy like that should be easy to find, she thought, laughing at herself. On the flight to LA, Carol thought that she'd practice her flirting skills, but she didn't see anyone that came close to what she was looking for. Most of the guys were short, fat, and bald. She was losing hope. From LA to Chicago, she was stuck in the galley when the passengers boarded, so she didn't get to check them out. Once the seatbelt sign went off, she went out to take drink orders. One of the passengers had left their carry-on bag sticking out into the aisle. Carol wasn't paying attention to where she was going, because she was scoping out the passengers for any suitable men. She caught her toe on the bag and began heading down to the cabin floor, face first. A strong arm reached out and caught her, saving her from a nasty fall. As she regained her orientation, she noticed that the arm that caught her was directly over her breasts. She righted herself and realized the strong arm was wrapped in a $1,000 suit. As she looked up further, she saw that the strong arm and suit belonged to a handsome man, a very handsome man. "Are you all right?" the handsome man asked. Carol started through her mental checklist. Handsome. Check. Good shape. She weighed 120 pounds, and he caught her with one arm. Check. She remembered the feeling of his arm across her breast. Older than her. He looked to be in his late 30s to early 40s. Check. Wearing nice clothes. He was in a very nice suit, and it fit him well, it fit him and his broad shoulders, very well. Check. Tall and well-groomed. Check.
"Yes, thank you for catching me, that would have hurt," Carol said. "I'm not usually that clumsy."
"Hi. I'm Robert Swanson," he said, holding out his hand to shake.
"I'm Carol Walker," she said.
She shook his hand and didn't see any evidence of a ring.
Check.
Bonus points for warm and soft, but strong hands.
Politely introduced himself.
Check. "Let me get you a drink. What would you like?"
she asked.
"Scotch, neat."
A man's drink, she thought. She got him his drink and then had to take drink orders from other passengers. There was a full meal service on this flight, so Carol had to take dinner orders. When she got to Robert, she asked,
"Robert, would you like the chicken or steak?"
Smiling, Robert replied,
"What does the chef recommend?"
Carol smiled and said,
"I don't know about the chef, but the steak is pretty good. Your recommendation is good enough for me."
Nice smile and a sense of humor.
Check.
After dinner, she walked by Robert several times. As she did, she touched him on the shoulder or arm and asked him,
"Can I get you anything, Robert?"
She asked one of the other stewardesses to watch him after she did a walk by to see if he was checking her out, and he was. Everything was going well, and she was ready to say yes, except he hadn't asked her out or given her his card. It turned out that there was weather over Chicago, and traffic was stacked up. They would have to circle for probably an hour before they could land. Carol usually hated when this happened, especially at the end of a long flight. The passengers got very cranky and would say stupid things like,
"Could you check with the captain and see how long it's going to be?"
Or the mad passengers would say,
"I paid good money for this flight and I expect it to land on time."
Robert just kept reading his book. The crew didn't have much to do either. Everything was stowed for landing, so their job was done until the weather cleared. Carol had time to talk to Robert for a few minutes.
"Why are you going to Chicago?" Susan asked.
"I work in advertising back in LA, and I'm out here to meet with a new client," Susan said. "I like this flight, but it has a 12-hour layover in Chicago. 12 hours doesn't give me enough time to do much, and sometimes I get bored. I don't really like hanging out with the crew, so I usually just stay in my room," Sharon said.
"Where do you stay when you're in Chicago?"
"The Palmer House," he said. The Palmer House was the best hotel in Chicago. Double check.
"Oh, I love the Palmer House.
The food is fabulous. We get stuck in these tiny rooms at a cheap hotel," I said, beginning to think Robert was deficient. Was she going to have to rip open her uniform to get him to ask her out? Finally, he said,
"Let me give you my card. Call me if you'd like to get some dinner tonight."
There it was. "Robert Swanson, senior advertising executive," he wrote.
"The Palmer House," on the back. Susan said, "I'll call you when I get to my room."
Just in time. The captain turned on the no smoking and the fasten your seatbelt sign. I fastened Robert's seatbelt for him. The rest of the crew laughed at me for that. The airline shuttle let them off at their hotel, and Carol hurried to her room to change out of her uniform. She gave the Palmer House a call and asked for Robert Swanson's room.
"Hello?"
he answered. "Hi Robert, this is Carol from All American Air. You were on my flight today, and we talked about going out tonight," she said. This was getting real, and she was suddenly very nervous. After a slightly too long pause, Robert said,
"Oh, hi Carol, I was hoping you would call. You asked me to dinner, remember?"
"Great, and I do remember.
I was just flustered because I didn't expect you'd call. I'd love to take you to dinner. Is the hotel restaurant okay?"
"Let's meet in the hotel bar at about 7:30. Robert replied.
"See you then."
Now reality was hitting, and she was starting to get nervous. She grabbed one of the mini bottles of vodka that she got off the plane to calm her nerves. She only had an hour to get ready, so she hopped in the shower, shaved her legs, and moisturized with a lotion that smelled like gardenias. Out of the shower, she looked at her naked body in the full-length mirror and liked what she saw. Working out had done great things to her body. She looked well-toned everywhere. She was only 25 and had good genes, but she'd never looked this good. She'd packed a just-above-the-knee-length black dress, with a V-neck that showed off her assets well. For underwear, she'd brought sheer black lace panties and a bra. She considered going commando, but thought that might be too forward of her. She wasn't a slut. Thigh-high sheer black, stockings with black 3-inch heels adorned her legs. Around her neck, a light gold chain featuring a single stone hanging just above her cleavage completed her outfit. After dressing and doing her hair, she carefully applied her understated, but evening makeup. A very light dab of expensive perfume, behind her ears and a tiny dab on her tummy just below the top of her panties. She was ready to go. She was starting to relax and began looking forward to sex with this good-looking stranger. But she still had butterflies. One more mini bottle of vodka for the road. She called for a cab and headed to the Palmer House. Carol walked into the lobby, found the bar, and spotted Robert. She paused a moment to reassess her choice. He looked even better than she remembered. Robert looked to be in his early 40s, tall and handsome, with an endearing smile. He was dressed in a well-fitted, expensive suit. He was a man that would look good on her arm. He saw her at the door and walked over to escort her to the bar. "Nice manners never hurt," Carol thought.
"Carol, you look magnificent this evening," he said.
She thought his eyes bulged a little, like a cartoon character, as he took in her outfit.
"Thank you, Robert. Would you like a drink now or wait for dinner? I have a table waiting at the restaurant. Let's just go to the table," she said.
Getting up, he held out his arm for her to take as they walked over to the restaurant. She put her arm through his and held it very close to her body. It seemed comfortable to her and calmed her. The maitre d' showed them to their table, pulled the chair out for Carol, and then called over the waiter with the menus. He asked if they wanted drinks before dinner. Robert ordered a scotch on the rocks, and she got a vodka martini. The waiter returned with our drinks and asked if we were ready to order.
"Would you like me to order for you?" Robert asked.
"Yes.
That would be lovely."
He spoke back and forth to the waiter in French, ordering our food. After the waiter left, Carol asked,
"What did you get for us?"
"It's chicken in a cream and wine sauce.
You'll love it.
It's one of Chef Albert's specialties."
Carol thought, he knows the chef. The sommelier came by with the wine list and again Robert ordered something in French. A small band started playing.
"Would you like to dance while we wait for our food?"
Robert asked.
"I'd love to."
Robert stood and offered her his hand. She took it and stood up. The music was a fast waltz. It turned out that Robert was a fabulous dancer. Carol never thought of herself as a good dancer, especially to this kind of dance music. Dancing with Robert was different. He made her feel graceful, like a natural dancer. She just let him take the lead, and she became light on her feet, like Ginger Rogers in an old movie. She didn't think about dancing and was swept up in the music and movement. It was thrilling. The next song was slower, and they held each other close. Her head fit perfectly against Robert's shoulder. He had a manly aroma with a hint of cologne. Being so close, she couldn't help but notice his generous package pressed against her. She felt pleasantly lightheaded from the dancing, the vodka from earlier, and her growing level of excitement. Everything about this evening was making her incredibly aroused. Dinner arrived, so they went back to the table and sat down. The sommelier brought the wine. Robert tasted it and discussed it in French with him before he poured us each a glass. She loved the food and wine, as Robert had predicted. It was refreshing and exciting for a man to take charge like this. She was not used to being treated this way, but she liked it. They chit-chat during dinner. They both knew this wasn't a real date, but the conversation was pleasant and relaxing. On the plane, Robert told her that he was in advertising and was in Chicago for a meeting with a new client. He had an air of quiet confidence and comfort. He was a smooth talker and a good listener, which I'm sure served a man in advertising well. It was serving him well tonight. His sparkling brown eyes kept contact with hers, and not her cleavage, showing some self-control and politeness. Although, at this point, she was so horny that she wished he would undress her with his eyes, or just undress her. But the evening was still young. After finishing our dinner, the waiter asked if we would like some dessert. Robert gave her a questioning look. Carol knew she could still say no to sex and leave, but at this point, there was no way in hell she was turning down sex. She couldn't wait to get him naked. She rubbed her foot up and down his leg and said, "Why don't we have something sent up to the room? Marvelous idea," he said. He said to the waiter, "Please tell Chef Albert that the food was magnificent." The waiter said, "I certainly will, Mr. Swanson," and gave Robert the check to sign. We left the table and walked to the elevators. When it arrived, it was empty. We got in and Robert pushed the button for his floor. He then moved towards her, looking into her eyes, smiled, and put his arm around her waist as we ascended. Carol thought, "This elevator is taking forever." His room was the penthouse suite. When he opened the door, the sheer size of the room impressed her. She'd never seen a hotel room quite this grand. There were two large rooms, one the living room and one the bedroom. Each was larger than her apartment in Dallas. The outside walls were covered with large windows, giving a postcard-worthy view of the city. It also gave anyone looking a view into the room. Soft romantic music came from hidden speakers. A large, covered, silver serving dish and a bottle of champagne and a silver hi-hat were in the living room. Their dessert had beaten them to the room. Carol wondered, did he order this before she suggested it? Maybe he said something earlier in French to the waiter. "Nice place, do you stay here often?" she asked. "I've never seen anything like it." "Yes and no. I stay at the Palmer House whenever I'm in Chicago, but when you called I upgraded my room. They're very accommodating," he said, looking slightly embarrassed. "For me? Flattery will get you anywhere," she said and gave him her best sexy smile. Carol excused herself to freshen up. Even the bathroom was impressive. It was covered in beautiful marble with a huge shower and a jacuzzi tub. The bathroom smelled of soap, shaving cream, and cologne. It smelled masculine, like Robert, and it made her want him even more. When she returned, he had removed his jacket and tie and had set up the champagne and strawberries on a small table in front of a love seat. He must be pretty confident about where this evening is going, she thought. She toed off her heels and sat close to him. Very close. So close that their knees were touching. He poured them each a glass of champagne. "Would you like a strawberry?" he asked. "Why, yes, I love strawberries," she said. He dipped a strawberry in whipped cream and fed it to her. Despite the circumstances behind this date, she was genuinely enjoying the whole experience. Robert had gone to a lot of trouble and expense to give her a memorable night. She'd never been on a date where someone had gone to this much trouble for her. He probably knew that she was a sure thing when she called and asked him out, but he still made everything special for her. He was an extraordinary man. The room, the champagne, the strawberries, and the handsome man were all acting together, making her feel extraordinarily sexy and wanted. She needed and deserved to be treated well. She felt the familiar warm feeling in her tummy that she got when she was extremely attracted to a man, especially one she was about to have sex with. "You have some whipped cream on your lip," he said. Before she could wipe it off, he leaned over and kissed her, gently licking the whipped cream off her lip. That little action sent a shiver through her. She kissed him back, less gently, cupping his face in her hands. She was getting so turned on, she surprised herself. Normally, she was not this aggressive, but this evening was far from normal. She couldn't seem to help herself. She hadn't realized how much she needed romance in her life. This was crazy. Robert, a man old enough to be her father, was making her more aroused than she'd ever been. Her nipples were hard as rocks, and she could feel a growing need and moisture down there. Her whole body was tingling. She hadn't felt this way in a long time. Here, with him, was exactly where she wanted and needed to be. Robert stood up, taking her with him, and wrapped his arms around her. His lips never left hers. "As Time Goes By" played on the sound system, and they gently swayed to the music while kissing. He found the zipper and hook on the back of her dress. He deftly popped the hook and slowly unzipped her. The zipper went all the way down to the middle of her bottom. The only thing holding it up was her breasts pressing on his chest and the sleeves. He moved his hands higher on her back, above the dress, and stepped back slightly. When she lowered her arms, the dress and bra fell into a heap at her feet. He held her tighter, and she could feel the effect she was having on him. He slid his arms down her back, and she realized her bra had fallen off with her dress. He must have unfastened it without her noticing. She thought, "I don't know how he did that, but he knows what he's doing." He kissed her neck as his hands moved to her breasts. She stifled a little yelp when his fingers touched her now exposed and very sensitive nipples. Her breathing was rapid but still found it difficult to catch her breath as he squeezed her breast. His touch was making her knees weak as his hands worked their way down her body. He continued kissing her lips, neck, shoulders, and now bare breast. His mouth continued its journey down her body. Like a tourist in a strange city, he didn't want to miss a single place. He kissed her in places she didn't expect and in the places she did. Her knees were getting so weak, it was hard to remain standing. His hands reached for her panties. He bent down on his knees and slowly lowered them. She heard him gasp when he saw her pussy. He kissed her just above her engorged clit as her panties hit the floor. Finally, he rolled her stockings down and removed them. She was completely naked. She stepped out of her pile of clothes as he knelt before her. He stood up, held her at arm's length, and closely examined her. It felt strange standing naked in front of a fully clothed man. The windows made her visible to all of Chicago, but because the room lights were on, they also acted as mirrors. Her naked body was reflected back to her. She'd always dreaded the moment that a man saw her naked for the first time. It made her feel like her body was being appraised. There was always some doubt about whether he would like what he saw or not. Were her tits too small or too big or too saggy? Was she too fat or too skinny? Was her butt too big or too small? Every insecurity she'd ever had about her body ran through her mind. Tonight, that dread was overshadowed by her excitement. She was overflowing with desire for this man, and that gave her new confidence. As if Robert knew what she was thinking, he said, "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen." He took a step towards her and pulled her to his chest. The sensation of her almost painfully hard nipples pressed against his starched, white shirt sent waves of pleasure through her naked body. She pushed him back, looked deeply into his eyes, and all her silly fears disappeared. The look of lust in his eyes told her that he was more than pleased by her body and her. Lust was raging through her too. Earlier, she thought this might be kind of fun and exciting. Now, she thought that this was going to be wonderful. She wanted him to take her, any way he wanted. It felt so sexy to stand completely naked and confident in front of him. Warmth radiated from her belly downward and she was wetter than she thought possible. She thought she might have an orgasm right then. She asked, "Should we take this to the bedroom?" He replied, "Oh God, yes. After you?" She led the way, feeling his eyes on her ass, knowing that he liked what he saw. She put a little extra sway in her step for fun. The bedroom had the same large windows. The mirror image of her body followed her. Robert went to the nightstand, lit a couple of candles, and dimmed the main lights. The mirrored image changed from reflecting them to a postcard image of Chicago. The people of Chicago could only see dark glass instead of her naked body. Had anyone been looking? She walked to one of the windows and looked out over the city. Robert joined her and gave her a long, passionate kiss. Robert asked, "What are you looking at?" "The building across the street. Anyone across there could see us if they were looking. Do you think anyone is there?" she said, as she got as close to the window as she could. If anyone looked at that window, they had a great view now. The thought of someone watching excited Carol. Robert moved to close the drapes, but Carol stopped him. "Once we move away from the window, nobody can see in, but as long as the drapes are open, they'll think there's a chance." Carol was naked and she needed him to be naked too. They walked to the bed, and she pushed him onto it. He started to undress, but she stopped him. "It's my turn." Carol started undressing him by pulling off his shoes and socks. She wanted to tease him. Undressing him was going to take a while. Crawling onto the bed, she straddled his hips and began unbuttoning his shirt. She stopped after every button to kiss him. She kissed his mouth, his neck, his ear, and the newly exposed piece of skin she'd uncovered. With every kiss, she could feel his reaction pulsing in his erection. She took the opportunity to rub her naked pussy against the growing bulge in his slacks, making her shiver. After finishing opening his shirt, she pulled him up, kissed him, and pulled his shirt off. She slid further down his legs, leaving a wet spot on his slacks. He would need something else to wear to his meeting tomorrow. She unbuckled his belt, unhooked his pants, and unzipped him very slowly, thinking he needed a little more teasing. His excitement became more apparent, and she wanted to get at it. Her excitement was building too. She pulled down on his pants and boxers, and he lifted his hips to help. Out popped his lovely hard cock, staring lustfully at her. She loved seeing cocks bounce when released from their bondage. It reminded her of a jack-in-the-box popping up. She took his cock with both hands and ran her tongue around the head to give him a tiny taste of what was to come. He moaned and tried to grab her. Getting off the bed, she pulled his pants and boxers all the way off. She stood there, naked, gazing down at this handsome, naked man prone in front of her. His cock, standing at attention, made her want to just jump him and relieve some of her building tension. But she restrained herself, wanting to give this man, who had gone to so much effort for her, the best night of his life. He had made her happy, and she wanted to show him it was worth it. She prided herself on her blowjobs. She learned to deep throat men early, and she loved giving them. There was no adequate way to describe the sensation of giving a blowjob and the feeling of power it gave her. No one had ever been less than amazed by her talents. She bent down and crept back up on the bed with him. Her breast rubbed against the hair on his legs, making her clit throb. She kissed and licked along his thighs until she got to his big balls. Sucking each into her mouth, she ran her hand up and down his cock lightly. Her tongue continued up along the underside of his shaft. She moved to her hands and knees and straddled one of his legs. She looked up at his face as he looked down at her. The expression on his face told her how much he was enjoying her attentions. When she got to his bulbous head, she quickly covered it with her mouth, causing him to startle with surprise and pleasure. Her tongue pressed against the very sensitive area on the underside of the head. Very slowly, she lowered her mouth down his shaft, and then rose back up again until it popped out. She knew she could make him come in just a few moments, but what fun was that? She licked and teased around his head, and then licked up and down his shaft a few times. As she felt him relax, she slid his cock deep into her mouth. She slid back up until only the head was in her, swirling her tongue around him while she ground her pussy on his leg. He bent his leg slightly to put more pressure on her. She moaned at the added sensation. She looked back up at his face, and his eyes were open and full of lust. She intended to give him the best blowjob of his life. She could read his excitement level by his breathing and the swelling of his pride. He was almost ready, so she slid her mouth off his cock and lightly licked his head. He moaned at the loss of her mouth, but she couldn't let him come yet. As his breathing slowed, she once again enveloped his cock with her mouth and moved up and down rapidly. She stopped with just the head in her mouth, teasing the tip with her tongue. His hips were bucking to try and get deeper in her, but she just moved with him. His breathing slowed again, so she started moving up and down slowly. This time, when she could tell he was ready, she moved up and down as fast as she could. He warned her. "I'm going to come." She pushed her head down until his cock was deep in her throat, with her nose against his pubic hair. He unloaded into her with a loud groan as she held him there. When he stopped twitching, she rose up and sucked him dry. She rolled off of him, moved up, and put her head on his shoulder. He wrapped his strong arm around her, bringing her closer to him. She could feel his rapid pulse and heavy breathing. He turned his body toward her and said, "Oh my God! That was the best ever!" She knew it was and was proud of it. For a couple of minutes, they just lay there catching their breath and looking at each other. She figured they were probably done. She shouldn't have let him finish, but it felt so damn good to blow his mind. Most of the guys she'd had sex with were one and done. And this guy was much older. She hoped he'd at least go down on her, so she could come too. As if he could read her mind, he said, "My turn." Carol felt a hand sliding down her side, just grazing her breast and nipple. She looked down and saw his hand caressing her bare belly, and then moving further down toward her more erotic spots. She quivered with anticipation. His lips found one of her nipples and sucked on it hard, while his fingers slid over her clit and between her lips. First one, then two, fingers slipped into her opening. She pushed her hips higher, trying to force his fingers deeper. His lips, on her tummy, moved lower. He licked and kissed the sensitive spots on her lower abdomen, the creases between her legs and her pussy. The tip of his tongue touched, once, only once, her hooded clit. It felt like a spark traveled between them, causing her to yelp quietly. She was going insane. She thought, "If he doesn't stop teasing, I'm going to kill him." Robert moved between her legs, pausing to revel in the sight and aroma of her pussy. His slow build-up to the main event had put every one of her nerve endings on high alert. The first stroke of his tongue stole her wits. It was a soft, slow lick that stimulated all her sensitive parts. The next pass was more considered. His tongue traveled up and down her labia, grazing her clit with each pass. Carol gasped with pleasure. It surprised her when a man knew what he was doing down there. The feel of an experienced man's tongue on her pussy was one of life's greatest pleasures, and Robert knew what he was doing. She should have expected him to be good at this. He'd been good at everything he'd done tonight. He knew just how and when to touch her, pushing her higher and higher, keeping her on edge. His tongue remained near her clit. It swirled around her hard nub in a slowly tightening circle, teasing her and promising more delights to come. He groaned, vibrating against her, making her pussy spasm. Carol put her legs over his shoulders and opened herself to him completely. She was so aroused, and he was so good, that her excitement built fast, rushing closer and closer to her climax. Her body was overwhelmed with desire. She was quickly building to a huge orgasm. His hot, soft tongue licked her clit continually. She reached for her breasts and tugged hard on her nipples. Her hips were thrusting toward him. She balled the sheets up in her fists, her knuckles white, her body tense in anticipation of the release that was nearing. Robert sucked her clit into his mouth, flicking it rapidly with his tongue. Her tension continued to build until it suddenly burst from her, as her orgasm tumbled through her entire body. Carol came with a prolonged scream. Her back arched, pushing her pussy into his face. Her toes curled until they felt numb, and her knuckles were white from gripping the sheets. It felt so good, she was frozen, she couldn't breathe, or speak. He didn't stop licking her through her spasms of pleasure. She didn't think she could take anymore, but couldn't stop it. She squeezed his head with her thighs. He sucked at her clit again, and she came again and squealed loudly. She grabbed his hair and pulled him away from her, putting his head on her tummy, her legs still spread around him. As her breathing slowed, and he felt her body slowly lose its rigidity, he crawled up next to her. He looked pleased with himself. God knows she was pleased with him. His lips were glazed with her juices. She leaned over and kissed him, tasting herself in his mouth. She buried her face in the side of Robert's neck. Carol slid her hand down his body and discovered to her delight that he was as hard as ever. She whispered in his ear, "I need you and me." Robert rolled over and positioned himself between her spread legs. She felt his hard cock press on her clit. He reached down, rubbed his cock between her lips, and put his head against her entrance. Ever so slowly, he pushed into her. He bent down and kissed her deeply. She pushed her hips up, trying to force him deeper, but he wanted to tease her. When she finally felt his balls on her ass, she moaned. He retreated just as slowly, leaving her feeling empty with just his head inside her. "Please! Don't tease me! Fuck me!" Robert picked up the pace. Carol continually moaned as his cock moved in and out of her. She wrapped her legs around his back, trying to control his speed, but he was in charge. It was frustrating for her not to be in control, but letting go felt right. He controlled his speed, depth, and angle. She let him fuck her any way he wanted.
Robert sensed her surrender, and began pushing harder and faster into her. Carol relinquished control, allowing herself to concentrate solely on the feelings in her body.
Robert pushed his knees under her, raising her hips, as he knelt between her legs. This changed his angle and his cock hit her G-spot with each stroke. This was new to Carol, and it was rapidly pushing her toward another orgasm.
Robert reached between their bodies and put his thumb on her clit.
Now, at the beginning of each stroke, he hit her G-spot, and at the end, his thumb was pushed against her clit. He was now pounding into her. Carol reached down and grabbed his thighs, pulling him in harder. Her vision blurred, and she screamed for what seemed like minutes as she came.
Robert moved his thumb, grabbed her hip, and pounded into her as hard as he could until he came deep inside her.
Carol screamed again as she felt him coming. Her pussy squeezed his cock. She wanted to hold him in her as long as possible, but as he softened, he fell on the bed next to her. They were both breathing heavily. Carol was barely conscious. He rolled towards her, and lay his arm over her, pressed against the bottom of her breasts. His hips were touching her side. As Carol regained her senses, she felt Robert's cock pressing against her. The rising of his most sensitive part surprised her as it pressed against her hip. Carol thought, Robert is like the Energizer Bunny, he just keeps going and going. She would be sore on tomorrow's flight, but it was so worth it. She reached down to encourage him. Although he didn't need any help, rubbing around on the head and spreading around his fluid made her tingly, and from his reaction, he enjoyed it too. She loved the reaction of a man when she teased him.
Oh my God, how can he be so hard again so soon? I won't be able to walk out of here.
I see that your friend down there isn't done yet, she said.
Not nearly, he said.
We have the whole night together.
Carol was tired, but she couldn't pass this up.
To her surprise, she felt herself getting eager again. This night just keeps getting better and better, she thought.
I have to leave for my flight by 6 o'clock in the morning, she said.
Then we'll have to make the time we've got memorable, he said as his hand stroked her thigh.
Robert rolled onto his back, his mighty erection standing just above his abdomen.
Carol threw her leg over him and sat straddling him. Her pussy pressed against his cock, lying on his belly.
She rose up on her knees, reached for it, and rubbed him up and down her slit.
With his cock at her entrance, she very slowly lowered herself onto him. First, just a head, then an inch at a time until she was completely impaled. She sat on him, looking at his face, his eyes closed in pleasure. Not moving, she squeezed his shaft with her pussy muscles and raised herself up until just his head was inside her. Using all her strength, she contracted her muscles, making herself as tight as possible, and dropped all the way down on him. He let out a deep moan. She got into a rhythm and ramped up her pace. His face contorted as she bounced on his hard cock. He opened his eyes and watched her gorgeous breast bounce with her rhythm. He reached out and touched them. She put her hands over his and pushed harder. Her movement changed from up and down to rolling her hip, with his cock rubbing against her clit. She put her hands on his strong chest, changing the angle between them. His hips were moving to match hers. She fell on his chest, their nipples touching, and put her lips on his. His hips were pounding against hers as he neared his climax. She pushed harder against him, and he came again with an animalistic cry. She rose up on her arms, pushing as fast as she could, and screamed in ecstasy. She collapsed with all her weight on his sweaty chest, still quivering slightly. She finally rolled off of him, allowing him to breathe.
Oh God! I can't move. No mas. Keep that weapon away from me before it kills me.
She choked out, trying to laugh. She turned on her side facing away, and he spooned behind her. They slept that way for a while. She woke up and found Robert's hard cock pressed between her ass cheeks. She reached behind herself and found that he was stiff again. The clock on the side table showed 11:30. She had to be ready for the shuttle at 6 in the morning to go to work. She should leave now, but Robert was so hard. Carol got up on her hands and knees and reached for the phone. Dialing the front desk, she said.
This is Robert Swanson's room. Can I get a wake-up call at 4 o'clock?
She hung up and felt Robert behind her, holding her hips. His cock was rubbing on her clit. She needed sleep, but she also needed this.
This is going to have to be a quickie, she said.
Robert slid his cock into her from behind. He felt even bigger than before, filling her completely. He plunged into her with abandon, making her grunt with each thrust. Amazed at how wet and ready she was again, she dropped her head down to the bed as he continued his assault. She was going to come again. With each thrust, his balls crashed into her clit. She grabbed a pillow and screamed into it. Robert was thrusting into her like a madman and came deep inside her. He pulled out of her, and she fell forward on the bed. Robert collapsed next to her.
I really need a couple of hours of sleep, she said.
Me too.
You wore me out.
She looked at him incredulously and said,
Me? I wore you out? I've never been fucked so many times, in so many ways, with so many climaxes in a week, much less an evening. You wore me out.
She smiled at him and paused.
It was wonderful.
At 4 o'clock, the phone rang. It was her wake-up call. She needed to get moving to get back to her hotel, clean up, get dressed and be ready for the shuttle bus by 6. When she attempted to get up, Robert grabbed her and kissed her, I wish you didn't have to leave, he said.
Me too. Can I call you?
No. This was a one-time thing, she said.
Although if I run into you on another flight, who knows what will happen.
You're absolutely incredible and last night was one of the best of my life, Robert said.
Last night was wonderful for me, and I'll never forget you. I'm not just talking about the sex, although I didn't know sex could be so good.
You made me feel special, as a woman and a person. The food, the wine, the dancing, the conversation, the music, the dessert, and the treat of the penthouse suite was so romantic.
You didn't have to do that. We both knew when I called you, we were going to end up in bed together, but you still made everything special for me.
I needed last night. I needed someone to treat me well. I needed the romance. It's been missing from my life. I'll always be grateful that you gave that to me.
But you won't let me call you.
I can meet you anywhere. You're the first person I've gone out with in a long time that was as wonderful as you are. You're a special person, and you need to know that.
I've got your card. Maybe I'll call you sometime.
Carol almost broke down and gave him her number. Instead, she kissed him again and went downstairs to get a cab. The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes.